Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Begin with me in verse 22. Matthew chapter 27, verse 22. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Pilate's predicament. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would bless tonight. Ask, Lord, that your spirit would be present in the service. And I know that it's Friday night, Lord. It's been a great week. It's been quick as far as time is concerned. Maybe a little weary, though, on the flesh with services each night, with work during each day. And I know that these bodies get tired, this flesh gets weak. But we trust and we know that the Holy Spirit is just as strong this evening as he's been any other night, as he would ever be. And we trust, Lord, that the Spirit would come tonight and would speak to our hearts, that you'd challenge those through your word. We pray for the lost that are here tonight, and that they would see themselves in that condition. They would see themselves as truly in need of something that they don't have, and see that it is freely offered in Jesus Christ through simple faith and repentance of sins. And Lord, save them, we pray. Pray that you would help us to be the witness that we ought to be. Help us to live righteously and godly in this world. And Lord, help us to be the pastors, the husbands, the fathers, the men of God that we need to be. And Lord, help us to do it with your grace. We thank you again for the great week we have had. Thank you for each one that has played such a great role and part in taking care of my family. And I just pray, Lord, a special blessing on each one. For the request of this body and those that are here, we pray that you would help those that are sick, those that are struggling in whatever area it may be. We trust that you'll help and that you'll bring the comfort and encouragement that only you can. Bless this hour, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pilate's predicament. You see, the once tough and incorrigible Pontius Pilate has now been relegated to a lowly and cowardly governor. After doing all that he could to avoid making this decision, he's now left with no choice. It's in his lap. He's the one that makes the call here on what to do with Jesus Christ. Of course, we know that Pilate ultimately made the decision to go through with the crucifixion. And verse 24 is a pretty vain attempt to clear himself of wrongdoing. He washed his hands with water, but they were already stained with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pilate was forced to decide that day on what he was going to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. Was he going to listen to the crowd? Was he going to listen to his conscience? He had already called Jesus Christ not guilty. He had already said that there was no fault in him. But now, right here in this moment, he becomes responsible. What is he going to do? You see, each man that hears the gospel and the message of the Lord Jesus Christ encounters a similar predicament. There is an unmistakable responsibility that lies in the lap of someone that hears the gospel. There's a responsibility that can't be avoided, no matter if you tried all the methods and ways that Pilate did. This evening, let's take a look at the situations and circumstances surrounding this man, Pilate, the ultimate climax of his life, his sentence against the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, Pontius Pilate. The historical record shows us that there is no love lost between Pontius Pilate and the council of Jewish religious leaders, the Sanhedrin. Years before this time, Pilate had become the Roman procurator of Judea. You see, in the Roman Empire, Judea was well known for being one of the more difficult provinces to rule over. Those of you that have been here in the morning, you see that Judea was terribly politically. It was a terrible place to rule. I mean, you just couldn't get any control there. Fighting between political groups, fighting between religious groups. No one wanted this mess. I mean, Judea is a mess to rule over. The Jews were zealous, both religiously and politically. Therefore, we're a pain in the neck to govern. This task fell to Pontius Pilate, and he did very little to earn the respect that it takes to rule over a people. Let me give you an example. There was a custom of the Roman Empire, whenever they would conquer a province or whenever they would rule over a province, they would bring their banners and their insignias and they'd bring their flags bearing the image of Caesar, and they would set those up in the provinces they conquered. But before Pilate became governor, the previous governors of Judea had refrained from doing this in Jerusalem. They saw the Jews and how much religious zeal they had. So the governors of Judea would never bring those standards. They'd never bring those images of Caesar into Jerusalem. The Jews were convicted about the images of idolatry and were insistent upon not bringing those images into their city. Well, when Pilate became governor, he was going to show them who's boss. And he came into Jerusalem saying, we're going to do things here like they're done in the rest of the empire. And Pilate, to show who he was and to show his strength, brought these images and brought these standards into Jerusalem, which bore the image of Caesar. A mark of his character was the cowardly way that he did it. He did it by night. And under the cloak of darkness, Pilate had these images, these flags, these standards brought into Jerusalem. And when the citizens of the city woke up the next morning, they were greeted by the image of Caesar out their window. The people were outraged. They sent an envoy to Caesarea, where Pilate's home was, to confront him about the situation. They said, remove these images from Jerusalem. Get these images out of here. Pilate was not sympathetic, and that's to say the least. He sent messengers that these images are going to stay in place. For 5 days, Pilate wouldn't even meet with the protesters. When Pilate finally agreed to meet with them, he agreed to set up a meeting in a local amphitheater with those that had protested against these images. But what Pilate had done was he was kind of sneaky about it, and Pilate had his men surround the amphitheater, and when the signal was given, his men came in with swords and with spears and threatened to behead the men that were protesting against him. They said, we're going to behead you if you don't knock off this protest. You know what happened? They called his bluff. The men of Jerusalem that had come to protest, the historian Josephus says that they bore their necks and they said, go ahead, cut our heads off. We would rather die than wake up every morning to the image of Caesar. We'd rather give our lives than have to just have a display of idolatry in our own home city, our own hometown. So they called his bluff and said, go ahead, kill us. Well, knowing that he couldn't massacre an entire group of people, Pilate yielded and the images were taken down. You see, Pilate got off to a rough start, a pretty rotten start. You see, not only were the people offended, but word got back to Rome about the situation. Here, Rome has sent Pilate into a controversial land to keep peace. And one of the first things that he does almost starts a riot. So now he's in hot water with his subjects. He's in hot water with his superiors. He can't rule the people. And people in Rome have got some shady suspicions that he can't rule. It seems like Pilate made it his personal mission to antagonize and provoke the Jewish leaders after this. He hated them. He hated them for it. He hated them for calling his bluff. He hated them for trying to appeal to Caesar. One of the things that Pilate did was that caused another big stir. He took temple treasury money and built an aqueduct. According to Josephus, thousands of men gathered to protest, and Pilate didn't make the same mistake twice. He was more sneaky about it this time. He had some of his own soldiers dress up as common men, and they had daggers and clubs under their coats. And when Pilate gave the signal, the men took their daggers and clubs out and began to beat the citizens. Some were injured, some were killed. On another occasion, he hung up shields in the royal palace with the title Divine written on them to signify the emperor. Of course, the Jews were frustrated about that. Who's the divine one to the Jews? Jehovah God. The historian Philo records that they sent a notice to Pilate, and the Jews said, we're done with you, Pilate. You knock this off or we will appeal to the emperor. They threatened to appeal to Tiberius Caesar. Pilate was fearful, so he tried to send a message to Tiberius himself and explain the situation. But Tiberius sent a letter back telling him, you take those shields down. This is, quote, an act of unprecedented audacity and wickedness. Turn with me to the book of, you're here in Matthew 27. Look back at verse 1. Matthew chapter 27, verse 1. Pilate is mentioned in another story in the scriptures. In Luke chapter 13, he's mentioned as having killed some Galileans who were there for the sacrifice. This guy is an instigator. The Jews have no love for Pilate, and he's starting to get in hot water. They have threatened him one more time. One more time, you do something like this, and we will appeal to the emperor. So Pilate's in hot water with his subjects. He's in hot water with the emperor, in hot water with Rome. The last thing Pilate needs is any more uproars. But what does Matthew 27 say? Verse 1, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. When they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. And now the Jews have brought another mess to Pilate's lap. They have brought to him a man named Jesus. Number 2, the mock trial. The mock trial. Turn with me to John chapter 18. John chapter 18. It helps if you read all four gospel accounts and put them together, because there are things that each one leaves out, and you must read them all to get the whole story of the day. John chapter 18. And let's talk about this mock trial. John 18, verse 28. John 18, verse 28. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. And it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, what accusation bring ye against this man? Don't you know that when Pilate walked outside onto his porch, the last thing he wanted to see was the Sanhedrin? The last thing he wanted to see was the council? Another uproar, another mess. All right, what is it this time? What is this all about? What accusation bring ye against this man? In verse 30, they kind of give a sarcastic answer. They answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up to thee. That's their sarcastic way of saying, Pilate, we didn't get you out of bed for no reason. Obviously, there's something wrong here. We don't actually care about you that much to kind of wake you up in the early morning. There's obviously something wrong here. So what does Pilate say in verse 31? Then Pilate said unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. Listen, is there something wrong here? Yeah, Pilate, there's something wrong. What do you think? Do you think we'd be here in the early morning if there wasn't something wrong? Pilate, I don't want to deal with this. Just do with him what you want to, okay? Take him, judge him according to your law. Do what you got to do with this guy. Just leave me alone. But then what's the rest of verse 31 say? The Jews therefore said unto him, it's not lawful for us to put any man to death. Pilate says, do what you got to do. Do whatever you got to do according to your law. But this is different because the Jews can't execute the death penalty. What? You mean this is a death penalty case? There's a death penalty case come to me in the early morning? What's the charge? You tell me what this man has done. Now go with me to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. Just take him. Just do what you got to do with this guy. Man, Pilate doesn't want another mess. Just do what you got to do with him. Pilate, this is a death penalty case. What? What's the charge? Luke 23, verse 1. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar. That's a lie. Saying that he himself is Christ, a king. There's a lot of lie right there. Pilate asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered him and said, thou sayest it. Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. What's the charge? You're telling me you're bringing a death penalty case to me in the early morning. This couldn't have waited till the courts open. This couldn't wait. Well, what's the charge against this guy? Well, and this guy's been stirring up strife, man. I'm telling you, this guy's talking against Caesar. Now, this guy's talking against Caesar. He's telling us that we shouldn't give tribute to him. That's a lie. But he keeps saying all these things about Jesus Christ and how he won't follow Caesar's law. So what does Pilate do? Are you the king of the Jews? Pilate begins to examine him. This Jewish man in robes that have already been tattered, hasn't slept in quite a while. This guy. You're telling me this guy is a threat to the Roman Empire? Are you the king of the Jews? You said it. And Pilate looked at them. Are you kidding me? You woke me up in the early morning hours to bring me this guy, and you're telling me that this man right here is a threat to Rome? Is a threat to Caesar? I mean, you're talking about the glory of the Roman Empire, and this man is a threat? This is foolishness. I don't find any fault in this guy. This is ridiculous. There's nothing wrong with this man. This guy's not a threat. This guy's not even a threat to me, much less Caesar. Get out of here. Get this guy out of here. This is ridiculous. Pilate's got a mess on his hands. You see, the death penalty request has been brought to him, but he doesn't think that there's any justified reason for it. He knows that there's no reason. I mean, come on. This guy's a threat to Rome. So now he has in front of him the last thing that he could possibly want. Another mess up with the Jews. Another problem. What does Luke 23, verse 5 say? When they were the more fierce. They got more fierce about it. He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee into this place. No, Pilate, you don't understand. This guy's causing a stir. I mean, this guy's aggravating people. This guy's an instigator. Pilate has obviously seen there's nothing wrong in this man, but man, they just get fierce, man. They already can't stand Pilate, and the fact that Pilate has denied them their request just makes them that much more fierce. You got to do something with this guy. This guy has created a mess all the way from Galilee to here. Oh, this is the last thing I need right now. Wait. Did you just say Galilee? Did he just say Galilee? This man, what's he saying in verse 6? When Pilate heard of Galilee, he said, is this man a Galilean? Verse 6, he said, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. Pilate knew Galilee was in somebody else's jurisdiction. Hey, Galilee, right? Man, that's somebody else's territory. Finally, a spot of good news. So he ships Jesus off to Herod, who was in Jerusalem at the time. Dodged a bullet, didn't he? Man, there was going to be a big old mess until they said, this guy's from Galilee. I don't have to mess with it now. Send him, you know, Herod, that's Herod's territory. You go see what Herod has to say about it. Now listen, that was wrong. He already said that Jesus Christ was innocent. He should have ended that thing right there. He's already said there's no fault in him. That should have stopped right there. None of this shipping him off to Herod. This has got to stop. He should have told him to let him go, but he wouldn't do it. And why? He doesn't need any more problems. His career is on the rocks already. He's already been written up twice, and the third one's termination, and he can't afford to mess up here. Go send him to Herod. Number three, Herod's house. Number three, Herod's house. Herod Antipas. This is the guy that had old John the Baptist killed. Luke 23, verse 8. When Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Oh, he's been waiting a long time to see Jesus. Have you ever wondered what it would be like to stare eyeball to eyeball with the guy that murdered your best man?
That's right.
That's what you got here.
Amen.
The friend of the bridegroom, this guy's had him beheaded. This guy can't even control his own lust and saw a woman dancing in front of him and had a man killed just so he could see it one more time. And he's now looking Jesus eyeball to eyeball. And, oh, I've been waiting to see you. I don't think Jesus Christ probably wanted to see him. I mean, this guy, he killed his best friend. And then he's propped up in front of Herod like he's supposed to do some miracle. Herod wants to see a miracle. Hey, bring in those couple of fish and bread we got back there. I want to see if he can do it again. Hey, bring in the water. I want to see if he can turn it into wine again. I don't know how that all worked out, but he wants to see some kind of miracle. We got any sick people laying out by the court? I mean, bring them in here and let's see if this guy can do it. He wants to see a miracle. That takes a lot of audacity to kill someone's best friend and then expect him to humor you. I mean, that takes guts right there. This Herod is disgusting. But what's he going to do? Jesus just stood there. Jesus Christ stood there, the silent lamb, through the accusation, through the lies, through it all. Why did Jesus Christ remain silent through all this? Why did Jesus Christ never defend himself? Why did Jesus Christ never try to defend himself? You want to know one reason? Because he was standing in your place. Amen. And what defense have you got? We don't have one, do we? And Jesus Christ really stood in our place. That's what it means to be a substitute. You didn't have a single defense. And when he stood in your place, he didn't even try to offer one.
Amen.
Luke 23, verse 9. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. The chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. Get this guy out of here. They had a little fun with him and dressed him up and made fun of him, and then they're going to ship him back off to Pilate. Verse 12, and the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for behold, before they were at enmity between themselves. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, ye have brought this man unto me. Can you imagine the look on Pilate's face when he got that knock at the door? Hey, Pilate, what? You remember that guy you sent down to Herod this morning? Yeah? They bringing him back. What? Well, I sent him down there for that guy to take care of it. Nope. I see him coming down. They got a bigger crowd now. They bringing him back. And don't you know, Pilate just, what do I got to do to get rid of these people? Man, I don't want to deal with this mess. And he says in verse 14, you brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. Here's the thing. I mean, are you kidding me? You've brought this guy back to me. I already told you there's nothing wrong with him. Here's the thing. Pilate, you are going to do something with Jesus Christ. You are not going to ship this off on somebody else. That's the thing that's going on here. You will not put this up on somebody else. It's you, Pilate. You can try to send him off to Herod. You can try to shift the stink and try to shift the responsibility. But you, Pilate, you are going to have to do something with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're either going to have to condemn him or free him. And no matter how many times you try to put this off, you're going to do something with Jesus Christ. And that's you, lost sinner. Listen to me this night. Listen to me tonight. You can put this thing off on somebody else. I don't care how much you try to. You're going to put this thing off and put this thing off and put this thing off. And you're going to find yourself awake someday in a lake of fire, because all you have done your entire life is put this thing off. Amen. This situation with Jesus Christ. I'm just sending down to Herod. You can't put this off. Pilate, he's going to come right back to you, end up right back in your lap. What are you going to do with Jesus Christ, Pilate? Amen. Lost sinner, how many times have you put him off? I reckon that, you know, amongst those that are here, we probably don't have a lot that are in a church service for their first time. How many opportunities have you had? How many times have you heard the gospel? And how many times have you put it off? Isn't it amazing how gracious God is, that the very first time that you rejected his son, he didn't just tip you headlong into the lake of fire then?
Right.
That's grace and that's mercy that he hasn't done that to you, because you've heard the gospel and you put this thing off and put it off, and Pilate, he's coming right back to you. What shall I do with Jesus Christ? Pilate's going to have to do something. He's going to have to do something. Verse 15, Luke 23, 15. Not only have I found no fault in him, no, nor yet Herod. That's why I wish that rascal would have done something about him. He knows he's not guilty too. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. Nothing. Herod's found no fault. Pilate's found no fault. Pilate's got a big problem on his hands. Is he going to do what's good for his career, or is he going to do what's good for his conscience? Is he going to do what's right for his lifestyle, or is he going to do what's right for his soul? By this time, a multitude had gathered. He had gone to Herod. He had come back from Herod. Turn with me to Matthew 27. Matthew 27. By this time, a huge crowd of people had gathered outside of Pilate's hall, following this guy around. I mean, the Sanhedrin's up in the early morning carrying some guy around. Something's going on, and people are following. Pilate looks outside his room, and he sees this great crowd staring at him. What are all these people doing here? I mean, there's thousands of people here. What are all these people doing here? Of course. Of course. Duh, what was I thinking? It's the Passover. It's the Passover. I know what I'm going to do. Number four, the tradition. The tradition. Where did all these people come from? Oh, of course, it's the Passover. They're all in town for the Passover, right? Matthew 27, verse 15. Pilate, I've got an out. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. That's his out. The Roman governors had a little tradition to try and ease some of the relations with the Jewish people. Every year around the Passover, and the Bible says that, it says there that they would release a prisoner whom they would. Now here was the tradition. The Jews didn't just get to pick somebody and they'd let him out of jail. What they would do is they would go down to the jails and they'd get about four or five, however that worked out, and they would let them choose between these men here. They didn't just call out a name at random, but they would set these men in front of them and they would release one of these. They'd let them choose between these men. Which one do you want to free? And so they free someone. He was cleared, goes off free, no charge anymore. That's the tradition. Now, verse 18 says, for he knew that for envy they had delivered him. You see, Pilate knows. He knows there's nothing wrong with Jesus Christ. He knows the mess that's going on here. So what's he going to do to get out of it? Duh. I know what I'm going to do. Keep your finger there in Matthew 27, and real quick, go down to Luke chapter 23. Keep your finger in Matthew and go to Luke 23. You see, Pilate's pretty smart, isn't he? Here's what Pilate's going to do. Pilate's not going to get four or five guys and bring them out here. Hey, go down to that jail, and you get me the dirtiest, rottenest, worst criminal you got in that jail cell. Well, we got a guy down here. He's a thief. Well, let me finish. He's a thief, and he's committed sedition. That's pretty bad. And he's a murderer. Well, that's the trifecta, isn't it? A thief, a murderer, an insurrection. Who's this guy? Well, his name's Barabbas. What's Luke chapter 23 say? Luke 23 and verse 20. Luke 23 and verse 20. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus. You see, Pilate knows. He knows he's not guilty. And Pilate, he wants to release Jesus, but these Jews. Man, I can't afford another mess with these guys. So what am I going to do? How do I get this guy out of here? This guy's not guilty. What am I going to do to release this guy? Go get me that. Go get him. You go get that worst guy you got there, that Barabbas. Yeah, you go get him. And I'll show them. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to put these two guys in. No more of this four or five stuff. I'm going to put this guy here and this guy here. I'm going to put this stinking murderer, this robber, this guy that's committed sedition. I'm going to put him out there. And I'm going to put Jesus out there. And that's how I'm going to do it. That's how I'm going to get out of this mess, and I'm going to get this innocent man out of this mess. There you see it? Easy way out. I'm going to get out of it, and I know this guy's innocent, and this is going to get him out of it. Back to Matthew 27. Matthew 27. Man, I'm so smart. I'm going to get out of this, and I'm going to get an innocent man out of this. And you know, Pilate, he wanted to stick it to those Jews. Man, you know, when Jesus Christ, you know, when he put him on the cross, and they did all the, you know, Pilate, he just loved to antagonize them, and you know, they put a crown on his head, even though it was a crown of thorns, and they loved to put a robe on him, and here's your king, you know, Pilate, here's your king. He just loved to get back at those guys, and I bet Pilate was glad. I'm going to get out of this, and I'm going to get this guy out of this too. I'll show them. So he puts this rotten, the nastiest man they had down there in that jail cell. In Matthew 27, verse 21, the governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? He already thought he knew what they were going to say. And they said, Barabbas. And his entire countenance dropped. Are you kidding me? You know, Pilate's got to be wondering in his mind, my goodness, why do they hate this man so much? I went down to that jail, and I got the worst guy we got in there. And they're going to choose this Jesus? And look at verse 22. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do? Listen to it. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? This guy thought, this is easy. They're going to release him. Pilate had no idea that he was actually going to have to make a decision about Christ. He never thought, I'm going to have to do something with this man. He just assumed they're going to kill this guy, and they're going to let this guy Jesus go. I don't know what this guy is, but man, over Barabbas, nope. He can't get around it. He's got to do something with Jesus Christ. And his smarts couldn't get him out of it. His wit couldn't get him out of it. His intelligence and his plans and all that he thought he was going to do, he's not getting out of it. What are you going to do with Jesus Christ? What are you going to do with Jesus Christ? You're not getting out of it. You will not get out of this. No one in this room tonight is any smarter than Pilate. No one in this room is smart enough to get out of the day that they stand before the Lord. No one of us is quick enough and understanding enough or strong enough. You're not going to get out of this. What are you going to do, Pilate, with Jesus Christ? Not going to get around it. What's he going to do? The tradition didn't work. Number five. A compromise. Number five, a compromise. So he's already tried it a couple ways, right? He was going to let Jesus go, but they wouldn't let him. He was going to ship him off to Herod. That didn't work. He was going to try this here tradition thing. That didn't work. So let's compromise, right? Let's compromise. Turn with me to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, and then we're going to go to John. What is this compromise? He knows he's innocent. There's no getting around that. What am I going to do? Man, I just thought I had the greatest plan in the world. And they're going to release this guy. What am I going to do? Luke 23:16. Can we compromise? Sanhedrin, can we compromise a little bit? How about this? Luke 23:16. I'll therefore chastise him and release him. Can we work out some kind of deal? I mean, you hate this guy. I obviously don't think there's anything wrong. You want him put to death, and I don't think there's anything wrong there. So can we compromise? Can we go halfway? You want him killed? I don't think anything should be done. So how about this? How about if we beat him around for a little while? How about if I chastise him? And chastising is where they would take a nice whip that had parts of bone and glass and rock tethered to the end of it. And those strands would rip across their back, sometimes all the way down to the bone. And the master chastiser, he could take one of those whips and he could pull skin right off the body. Would that suffice? I mean, can we work out a little deal here? Can we compromise a little bit? What's John chapter 19 say? What's John 19 say? John 19, verse 1. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" You see him taunting them? Don't you see him antagonizing them? "Here's your king." And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again, saith unto him, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto him, "Behold the man." I mean, look at him. I don't think there's anything wrong with this guy, and look what I have done for you. I have gone so far as to beat an innocent man. I have gone so far as to make blood come from his head and blood drip from his back. Look what I have, just look at this man. This man you say is a threat to Rome. Look at all that I've done to suffice you. Look at this man. Man, just let him go. Can't this stop here? Look at him. Behold the man. Pilate wanted to scourge him, and hopefully in matter of a compromise, maybe he could work out a deal. And I'll beat him. And he put him in front of him, and he's beaten, and he's bruised, and blood is coming right down his face, probably as Pilate's speaking. Behold the man. Here he is. Look at the extent that I have gone on someone that I think is innocent. Look at him. Here he is. Can we compromise? Verse 6. When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him." You crucify him. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Look at this guy. Just behold this man. Look at, are you serious? You want to keep going through with this thing? No compromise. Pilate, you are not getting out of this. What are you going to do with Jesus Christ? No compromise. There will be no compromise. You're going to make the call here. You're going to make the decision on him, Pilate. You're going to kill him or you're going to let him go. Pilate, what are you going to do? Amen. What are you going to do with him? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. You see, the Bible tells us that it seems Pilate had the best of intentions initially. He knew that he was not guilty. He thought that with this tradition, he could release a man that he already thought was innocent. And he thought, I'm gonna get out of this. And I'm even going to go so far. I guess I'll beat him half to death and see if that'll suffice them. Listen, there's no compromise here. Amen. Matthew chapter 27. Or I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, "Lord, Lord," shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works." And then will I profess unto them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Can I ask you a question? Based on what you know from the scriptures, how's this going to fly someday when Pilate stands before the very throne of God and says, "But I tried to let him go. But I tried. I did everything I could to let him go." Are you kidding me? He had the power with his word to let him go. And Pilate's going to stand before the Lord someday and say, "I tried to let him go. I tried to let this guy go, and I tried to compromise, and I tried." How do you think that's going to fly? No. No matter what you, there's no matter about good intentions and what you've tried to do. It's not about that. There's going to be a lot of people saying that day, "But Lord, Lord, I tried to do this, and I tried to do this, and I tried to do this." How's that fly? See, it's not about what you've been doing, and it's not about your intentions, and that's not about where you've compromised with the Lord. It all comes down in verse 23. He says, "I never knew you." Do you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know Jesus Christ? Some of you tonight, you know Jesus Christ like I know Barack Obama. I know him because I have read about him. I know him because I've watched him on television. I do not know that man personally. I never sat down and had a conversation with that man. And that's about how well some of us know Jesus Christ tonight. That's all that you know. You know what you've read, and you know what you've heard, and you know what you've seen and listened to in Bible school and camp and all the different things that you may have done. And that's the extent that you know the Lord. But you don't know him personally. You don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what's needed. There's no compromise that you're going to work out with the Lord someday. There's not going to be any of this. But I tried. Pilate sat there and washed the blood off his hands and thought, I've done all I could do to get out of this. No, you didn't. You could have let this man go. Look with me in the book of Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And I want to show you what Pilate did and the awfulness of it. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 28. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, Christ's own blood, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despot unto the Spirit of grace. How much, you know, you read about the Old Testament, read that story about what they did to that guy that was caught picking up sticks on the Sabbath day. I mean, they stoned a guy for picking up sticks. You say, why was he picking up sticks? I guess it doesn't matter. I don't know if he was picking up sticks to make a meal for his family or to heat his house. I don't know what he was picking up sticks for, but they stoned a man for picking up sticks. If you think that that's bad, of how much sore punishment shall ye be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing. I mean, you what do you think is going to happen to someone that's despised the very blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, what about this guy, Pilate? Well, how about if I just beat him for a while? Are you kidding me? You're going to shed the blood of Jesus Christ and you know he's innocent? You think, I mean, what did Pilate do there? Well, I'll shed a little bit of his blood and I'll beat him around a little bit and maybe that'll work it out. Maybe they'll compromise. Are you kidding me? That's what you think about this man? Pilate doomed his soul. And he says, how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing. The book of Hebrews was written to Jewish believers. And whoever wrote this book continually is coming back to this fact of the danger of returning from faith in Jesus Christ to Judaism and to legalism. You can't return to that. Are you kidding me? You're talking about the blood of Christ and you're going to go back to this law? You've seen the blood of Jesus Christ and now you're going to go back and start teaching people about the law? Oh no, are you kidding me? You're going to think that, what are you going to do with the blood of Christ? And he thought, an unholy thing? A common thing? Jesus Christ has shed his blood for salvation and for the forgiveness of sinners. Some of you have sat here for years. Now, I think I'll get there on my own. You say, I've never said those words. That's how you're living. You're living that way. You're going to get there on your own. You're going to get to heaven another way than through the blood of Jesus Christ. Are you kidding me? If the Lord sent his Son to shed his blood because it was the only way, what's going to happen to the man that looks at the blood of Jesus Christ and says, I can do just as well. I can get there on my own. Oh, of how much sorer punishment. Wow. No compromise. Pilate, you're going to do something. Pilate, what are you going to do with Jesus Christ? Well, I'll beat him, and then we'll compromise, and then they'll let me. No, they saw him. They saw him beaten. They saw him battered, and they saw blood dripping from him, and they still said, crucify him. Pilate, you're not getting out of it. What are you going to do with him? Back to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. John 19. Verse 6, John 19, verse 6. When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him, crucify him. For I find no fault in him." Crucify him, fine. Just do it. I don't have any other choice. Just do it. Number 6, the second chance. The second chance. Verse 7, the Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Whoa, 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 whoa. All right, go ahead and crucify him, okay? Well, Pilate, we've got a law about how to handle this thing with guys that claim to be the Son of God. Wait a minute here. No. You brought this guy to me because he claimed to be the king of the Jews. And now it's coming out you're saying that's because he was the Son of God? No, that's not why you brought him to me. That's not why you brought this guy here. You said it was because of the king of the Jews part, not the Son of God part. What's verse number 8 say? They bring this thing out about him being the Son of God, and it says, when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. What have I done? I've condemned. Whoa, whoa. And what's verse 9 say? And he went again into the judgment hall. I got to rethink this thing. They said this was over the king of the Jews part. Now, and they lied to me. Now it's because he called himself the Son of God. That's why they hate this guy. And Pilate's starting to have some second thoughts. I've done wrong. And he was afraid when they talked about this Son of God business. You know what that means. Anybody that declares himself to be the Son of God, that's saying that you're God. He knew that. The Jews knew that. Pilate's ready to rethink this thing now. He goes back into his judgment hall. And verse 9 says, he saith unto Jesus, "Where are you from? Whence art thou?" Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee?" Jesus answered, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." And from henceforth Pilate sought to release him. You see, Pilate's had a change of mind here. He's already said, go ahead, crucify him. Just take him and crucify him. And now some new light has been brought out here. Something new has been put on the table. And he's going to go back in the judgment hall and think about this thing again. And he's going to try again. He's going to give this thing another shot. He still knows he's innocent. Think about that. Pilate knew he was innocent and condemned him to death anyway. And however this worked out, this man has been given another opportunity. This man was wrong. Pilate was wrong to condemn Jesus Christ. And in grace and in mercy, he's been given another opportunity to go back on that. But what does it say? He wants to release him. From thenceforth, verse 12, Pilate sought to release him. And then the Jews played the trump card. They did it. The Jews played the trump card. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." Listen, they don't like Caesar anyway. These men don't like Caesar. But they know what card to play against Pilate. They know what to say to get Pilate to jump. You thinking about letting him go, huh? Well, that's a shame. I wonder what Caesar would think about that. I think that if a man let this guy go, he's not Caesar's friend. That was the one to play. That was the card to play. Verse 13, when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he said unto the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto him, "But shall I crucify your king?" I mean, come on, what happened to the king business? You bunch of stinking liars. You said this was over the king. You want me to crucify your king? Yeah, crucify him. Verse 15, the chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. They're going to play that Caesar card again. Then delivered he him, therefore, unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. They led him away. Pilate, what are you going to do with Jesus Christ? He blew it. This man blew it and sentenced him to die. And however merciful the Lord was in that, brought new light to the table and said, whoa, what am I doing? What am I doing? This isn't right. This is not right. What am I going to do with this man? And they played the Caesar card. And the last thing Pilate can handle is one more mess. And Pilate chose his career over his conscience. Pilate chose his own lifestyle over doing the right thing. And he sentenced an innocent man to die. And in a vain attempt, took some water and rubbed it on his hands and told them, I don't agree with this. And so I'm not guilty of it. I've done what I can to let him go. And you guys, you've got my hands tied. And you've played a card that I can't overturn. Just do what you want. But I'm telling you, I'm not going to be part of it. Man, he was bitter against them. But what does Matthew 27 say? Matthew 27. Matthew chapter 27. Verse 24, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, he wasn't going to get his way. This thing's not going to work out to his benefit. He couldn't prevail, but rather a tumult was made, which he can't afford. He took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us, on our children. That's a pretty nonchalant thing to say right there. I mean, obviously it hasn't been written yet, but Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29, and put that verse together, that's some hard stuff. We don't care, Pilate. Put his blood on our hands. Just kill him. Just get rid of him. We want this man dead. What does Acts chapter 5 say? I'm going to read another verse here. Acts chapter 5. What did the Jews say? Fine. Whatever. We'll take his blood. Put it on our hands. We will accept responsibility for killing it. Pilate, if that's what will clear your conscience, okay? If it'll make you feel better, go ahead and shift the stink to us. Put the responsibility on us. Acts chapter 5, verse 27. Amen. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command that ye should not teach in his name? This name, behold, ye filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. You're the ones that said you'd accept the responsibility. You're the ones that said you'd take his blood on your hands. And now it's over and nobody wants to accept responsibility for this thing. Everyone wants Jesus Christ crucified. Everyone there wanted to put him on the cross. Yeah, we'll accept responsibility for it. Put the blood on our hands. And it's not much time later, Acts chapter number 5, and they're saying, we're not responsible for it. You're trying to put his blood on our hand. No, we're not responsible. Don't put his blood on our hands. Pilate's over here washing his hands. Don't put his blood on my hands. Listen, nobody's wanting to accept responsibility for this thing. I'm telling you, somebody's responsible for the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not going to deal with the blood of Christ in such a nonchalant way. You're going to take the blood of the Holy Lamb of God and despise it and call it just such an unholy, an uncommon thing. You're not going to do that to the blood of Jesus Christ. Pilate, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to go ahead and let him crucify him, but I'm not taking responsibility for it. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Well, sinner, you can reject again tonight, but you're not going to deny the responsibility that you have. Amen. You're not going to be like Pilate, and you're not going to be like the Sanhedrin. You are not going to deny your responsibility. Every man is responsible according to God's word. God hath commanded all men everywhere to repent. You stand responsible before God as a sinner and as a sinner before him. And you are commanded by God to repent and turn unto him. Jesus Christ shed blood so that he could forgive and so that there would be a price paid by which God could forgive us of our sins. You're not going to come into this and claim no responsibility. You are responsible tonight before the Lord. If you've ever left this house before as lost, you have been given another opportunity, and you should thank God that he's been merciful to you to let you hear the name of Christ just one more time. And you're going to leave here tonight again lost. You say, I think that's foolish to say those kind of things. I think it's foolish for you to leave tonight lost. I think it's foolish for someone to see the name of Jesus Christ and to see what he suffered and to see that he did it for sinners and to look at his blood and despise it as an unholy thing. That's what's foolish. That is what's foolish tonight. Jesus Christ died for sinners. Put him up on the cross. I'm not responsible for it. Well, we're not responsible for it. Brethren, we're all responsible for it. Every one of us today is responsible. And you can shirk that responsibility. And you can wait another day. And you can wait another week. And you can wait for another Sunday to come. And you can ship him off to Herod. And you can try to work this thing out and try to weasel your way out of it with this tradition. You could try to compromise and good intention yourself all the way, but you're going to have to do something with Jesus Christ. You will do something with Jesus Christ. You say, I will do something with Jesus Christ in the future. No, you're doing something with him tonight. You walk out of here tonight hearing the name of Jesus Christ, and you walk out of here lost, you are continuing to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Why will you die, O Israel? God hath commanded men everywhere to repent. If you're here tonight and you're lost, I hope that you can see what Jesus Christ has done. And it's amazing how many times people, they tried to get their way out of it. They didn't want to handle it, and nobody wanted the responsibility for it. And this man faced lies and accusation, and the Holy One of God bore what we could not bear and went to a cross to pay for sins that weren't even his. They were ours. And he did all this so that salvation could be given and given freely. Given freely to those that would simply come unto God by him. And by grace through faith, you can know a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're responsible tonight. What will you do with Jesus Christ?